Do you know who you are? Apart from your name, I mean, how would you answer the question, who are you? You could answer in terms of what you do. I'm a doctor. I'm a teacher. I'm a student. You could answer in terms of primary relationship. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. The other night on Family Feud, a young man told Steve Harvey he was a full-time, stay-at-home son. That was a new one for me. Or how about answering in terms of your personal qualities and interests? I'm an introvert. I'm a free spirit. I'm a Sagittarius. If you're into the Enneagram, you can answer, I'm a 4, but my husband says I'm a 1. Or more broadly, I'm a human being. I think, I feel, I love, I choose. I'm a child of God. Lots of answers could apply to the question, who are you? And Jesus has another one. Ask him, who am I? Who are we? And he answers, you're the light of the world. You're the salt for all the earth. Well, that raises the bar a bit, doesn't it? I've known people who think just about that highly of themselves. A couple years ago on vacation, I was watching my then 12-year-old nephew play a video game, and I said, man, you're good at that. And he said, I am the chosen one. I think most of us would want to answer a little more modestly. I'm a friend. I'm a child of God. You are the light of the world. And so Jesus honors us beyond anything we might expect. He confers this tremendous dignity on the meaning of our life individually and especially of our life together. And he does address this to us together. He's using the plural you. Y'all are the light. You folks are the salt. Which intensifies the honor, actually, because it means that not one of us is left out. Now please notice he does not say you must become the light. You must strive to be the salt for all the earth. No, this is who you are, he says. Now later on, he'll give his followers all kinds of action verbs. He says, go, love, serve, feed, forgive, pray, believe, proclaim, teach, baptize, and more. But before any verb of action, the first verb he uses in the Gospels for all of his disciples is a verb of identity. You are. And what you are is the light. And to be sure, he's not telling us, as pop psychology does, how special we are, what unique and fabulous lights for the world we are. He's talking about what his call on our lives has made us. He calls your name, and you are the salt. God's love is laid upon your life, and love pronounces you the light. And that is now who you are. So what do they mean, salt and light, as pictures of who we are? Where they're both in themselves almost nothing, but they both permeate what is around them, and they both make all the difference. What is light? It's itsy-bitsy particles, or itsy-bitsy waves, or somehow both, I really don't understand. But it shoots through the dark, and the dark can't stop it, and it permits vision. in energy, courage, in understanding, in hope, life itself, in salt, almost minuscule, but it's life. It's in the blood and the sea. It cleanses. And what flavor? Just a dash of it calls out so many other flavors, calls them out to play. Salt is the nemesis of the blamed. Be the nemesis of the blamed. Both salt and light are the happy differences. That's who you are, says Jesus. You are the difference. And listen, the problem is not that this isn't what we are. The problem, according to Jesus, is that we hide it. He says, who turns on a lamp and then puts a trash can over it? How idiotic would that be? Your light, he says, pull off the trash can. Shine. And you're the salt. But if salt loses its flavor, he says, but hold on here. Salt can't lose its flavor. My Monday noontime Bible study group, several of whom are women who are veterans of the kitchen, convinced me of that. They told me salt has no expiration date. Cannot not be salty. Unless you dump something else in it. Sand. Or dirt. Then what comes out tastes like dirt. With just a pinch of salt. How idiotic would that be? So he says, you are the salt. Don't dilute it. Be it. See the problem. We are this wonderful thing, but what we're in danger of doing and what we mustn't do is cover it up. But we cover it up all the time. What do we cover it with? Can we name the trash cans stacked on top of the light? Can we name all the clutter in the mix with the salt? What are we so mixed with and covered up with? Well, all kinds of stuff comes to mind. Any obsession, any addiction will cover up who we are. The burdens of anxiety or guilt or anger will cover up who we are. All self-absorption blocks it out. And is this the meaning of all of our sin, that it's all a cover-up, that it's all an adulteration of who Jesus says we truly are? And maybe near the heart of it by now is this, that so many of us go through our days, go through our years, not even noticing or even imagining the truth that none of this is about us. The life we are so privileged to live is not just for us. We go through our days so gifted, so surrounded by the treasures laid out for us by a generous God. We can delight in it and grow in it, thrill to it, and it's not about us. We all belong to the world. We all belong to each other. We all belong to God. And all our things, and all our feelings, and all our hopes, they are for holding so lightly and for offering and giving and sharing joyfully, sharing painfully. Otherwise, clutching them, holding on to them, we lose ourselves. Ourselves grow lost to us and to the world. For we are light. And we are salt, and light is never for lighting itself. And salt is not for salting itself. Listen, the happiest news I know is that we are here to live for something so much bigger than ourselves. Annie Dillard, one of my favorite authors, Annie Dillard writes about how when she was 5 or 6 years old, she used to take a penny, and she did this several times, and pennies can be very precious to a child. She would hide the penny in the crevice of a neighborhood tree or in the crack of the sidewalk. And then she would take chalk and, starting from either end of the block on the sidewalk, would draw gigantic arrows pointing in the direction of the penny she hid. And then she would write, "Surprise ahead, a gift this way." And she'd go home thrilled, imagining the person who would stumble across her treasure. You think a whole life might be lived in that frame of mind? Could the life of a church be that? Dillard goes on to write about herself and the present. She writes, "It's still the first week of January, and I've got great plans. I've been thinking about seeing. There are lots of things to see. Unwrapped gifts and free surprises. The world," she says, "is fairly studded and strung with pennies cast broadside by a generous hand." In how many ways did Jesus tell us this and show us this? That you and I are walking through a world strung with glad surprises, free treasures, which sets us so happily free to be His accomplices, to salt the world with treasures everywhere we can, to make life more graciously interesting and savory for those who can, to live for that joy, to be held in that generous hand, to be light and shine with the light, because that is who we are. Thanks be to God. Amen.